Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 175. News for this week, the Masonic Radio Theater Christmas special is just about done. Brother Bill Hosler finished the recording and kind of mastering it and forwarded it on to me for the final mastering. And so it's just about done, guys. I think you're really going to like it. We went for a traditional Christmas special kind of thing. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Christmas is right around the corner and we're right in the middle of Hanukkah. I hope you all are having an amazing holiday season so far. The new year is right around the corner as well. So just as a reminder, there will be no new episodes for the next 2 weeks. I know, it's crazy. Take 2 weeks off the whole year. So this is the last show of 2014. Kind of crazy. But we may be doing a Masonic roundtable, it looks like, for the next 2 weeks on the Tuesday. So you're not going to miss those ones. So you've got a couple things to look forward to. Probably a couple new episodes of the Masonic roundtable still coming out the rest of the year, as well as the Masonic Radio Theater's Christmas special. I really do wish you guys the best in the next 2 weeks. I will still be on Facebook. I'll still be on Twitter, going back and forth, posting and doing all that great stuff. The Midnight Freemasons will still be going strong. Have a big announcement tomorrow if you're listening to this on Sunday night. If it's Monday already, then you probably already know if you do follow the Midnight Freemasons, we have a new contributor. So congrats to that brother. I can't say it yet because technically it's Sunday night. So this week I wanted to go into kind of a Christmas thing. I always like to tie the show into relevant things that are going on within the community, the world, the craft, whatever it may be. And of course, it's the Christmas season. So I'm going to read a paper that kind of relates to Christmas. And it's called, Is Father Christmas a Freemason? So we'll go ahead with that right now. Is Father Christmas a Freemason? I have a very serious question to put to you all. I would like to raise it with you and then do some detective work, examining the evidence that might lead us to answering it. It is a most important question that I am sure you have often asked yourself and relates our craft to the wider society in which we live and concerns several major issues of the season. This very serious question is Father Christmas a Freemason? Let us consider the facts of this case. Of whom does this remind you? A worthy gentleman who is, we must admit, getting on a bit in years and is perhaps a little overweight, who wears a very distinctive costume as the badge of his activities, who provides the opportunity for friends and visitors to meet in fellowship, who is surrounded by secrecy and mystery, dispenses goodwill and the charity of gifts all over the world, avoiding ostentatious public displays while doing so, and is there doing it year after year. Well, fellow detectives, you must admit that this description could fit either Santa or a Freemason, but this is merely circumstantial evidence. We need some proof. Let us start with his movements on the evening in question. All the reports have him coming from the North Pole as the sun rises in the east to open and liven the day, and with him needing to finish the world before dawn, then he would have to begin in the east and move toward the west. Therefore, Father Christmas must begin his journey at the northeast corner of the world. This, of course, is exactly what we do with an entered apprentice. Similarly, you would assume he would finish heading for home, which would place him in the northwest corner at the end of his work, to give his salute to the world and leave. Convincing proof, you must agree. But think, too, he undertakes this great journey to provide the gifts but once a year, and I am sure that any brother treasurer will agree that this is exactly the frequency with which most brethren provide the gift of their charity to the lodge. And the secrecy? The mystery? Those of you who are parents remember. What was the worst crime that an older child could commit at this time of year, to tell the younger ones the secret of Santa, to break the faith that they should have kept? And I am sure your punishment of them pointed out that they were void of all moral worth and totally unfit to be received into the dinner table, but be sent to their room for destroying something that was so good, so worthwhile, and so innocent. Surely all of this evidence shows us beyond doubt that Father Christmas is a Freemason. He practices brotherly love and relief. We are happy to meet him and the Christmas season, and sorry to part. All the details, his wearing of a uniform, the rituals that happen year in, year out, the fact he is a male. On a more serious note, brethren, the way the whole Christmas season has developed and is practiced does have many things in common with Freemasonry, and we can learn much about each from the other. For instance, where did the figure we call Father Christmas come from originally? What is his background? Father Christmas, or Santa Claus, or Saint Nicholas, has elements of pre-Christian myths and legends which developed through the Middle Ages by being built into the great Christian story of God's wonderful gift to the world. But the 18th and 19th century, these details were formalized into the character that we still have today. His stylized uniform, his way of working, his ritual activities and sayings, this all sounds very Masonic. The pre-Christian legends of Solomon's Temple, the pyramids, Pythagoras, and so on were developed through the Middle Ages by the great Christian cathedral builders, then formalized in the 18th and 19th centuries into the uniform, the work, the rituals that we use today. Saint Nicholas was actually a 4th century Turkish bishop who had originally been a rich nobleman. One of the stories about him was that he had helped a poor man who could not afford to pay for weddings for his 3 daughters. Saint Nicholas climbed onto the roof and threw a handful of gold coins down the chimney, and these coins fell into the girls' stockings that had been hung up by the fire to dry. The girls were then able to marry well and lived happily ever after. He has been considered the patron saint of poor children ever since. The legend became very popular in Europe, especially the Netherlands, where it was mixed with elements from the pagan Yule or midwinter festivals. Saint Nick became Santa Claus, who would arrive on December 6th, Saint Nicholas Day, mounted on a white horse and visit children to inquire about their behavior the previous year. Good children would be rewarded and bad ones punished. The night before, children would leave a pair of shoes or clogs out, filled with hay and carrots for the horse. In the morning, these would be found filled with sweets or small presents. These traditions were taken to America by Dutch settlers, but it was the famous poem by Professor Clement Clark Moore, which begins, "'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house," which settled most of the details into the Santa figure we know today. Many of these details, such as the reindeer and their names, the flying sled coming down the chimney, were first brought together in this poem, but Professor Moore took them from old traditions from as far afield as Finland and Siberia, and they have stuck and become a single story. You can now see how similar this is to the creation of our ritual and ceremonies. While these also certainly include many elements that are ancient folklore, they were put together quite deliberately by identifiable people with a specific aim to create an impression in the minds of the brethren taking part. Like the Santa legend, the details may be fictional. They may come from many different sources, and they may even be inconsistent with each other. It is an impression that all of them create as an entirety that is important. Would you deny all the good that the Santa story achieves, all of the happiness it creates just because it is a story? Of course not. And this is the real linking of Father Christmas and Freemasonry. Why do we have Christmas, and why do we have Father Christmas? We celebrate religious beliefs about the birth of goodness and hope for the future. We reaffirm the belief that people are basically good and can develop into loving, caring, helpful, supporting friends to each other. We look to a new year where things can be better. We do this at this season, whether we are celebrating the Christian Nativity or the Jewish Hanukkah with its lights and gifts and story of peace, or the Hindu Diwali with its festival of lights and gifts of sweets and toys, or even if we hold no formal religion except the pleasure of seeing a child's face transfixed with wonder and delight. And why are we Freemasons? Because we believe that there are important things like goodness and hope for the future, and that men can develop into loving, caring, helpful, supporting brethren to their families and each other. We not only look to a future where things can be better, but we see it as our role as free and accepted or symbolic Masons to help to build that future. So I feel I can safely say that Father Christmas is a Freemason. Not only does he show so many of the signs and tokens of being one, but he brings us a message that we as Freemasons can heed for the whole year. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Merry Christmas. David Downey, St. Trinian's Lodge, number 2050, Isle of Man. Well, there you have it. I can't thank Brother David Downey enough for this piece. I thought it was just a really nice, touching piece. And the fact that it didn't dwell on making this an overwhelmingly Christian piece. And I don't mean that in any offense to anybody. I enjoyed the fact that he brought in Christmas, the Diwali, and Hanukkah all together. It's kind of year-end celebrations that bring about the best in people. And I really enjoyed that it tied them all together very nicely. I hope you guys all enjoyed. Now is the time on the show where I'm going to ask you to support the show. We have a few main ways of doing that. You can pick up our application, which is on your mobile device, which lets you listen streaming to the show and also gives you access to the papers that we read, as well as Masonic wallpapers for your mobile device. Another way you can help this show out is by doing some shopping, either at onnit.com or at freemasonryart.com. onnit.com is kind of healthy living supplements and workout equipment. You can use the coupon code WCY. That'll give you 10% off, and they send a little bit back to the show. And freemasonryart.com, who doesn't like Masonic artwork? Symbols, pictures, it's what we do, it's what we read. Brother Juan Sepulveda pulls all this together in just an incredible style. I urge you to check it out and go on over to freemasonryart.com today. Check it out. Use the coupon code WCY. You'll be helping out the show. You're getting a little percentage off as well, and you're going to have some really great artwork. The third way is through a PayPal direct donation. So basically, you just go on over to WCYpodcast.com, click donate button, and you pick the amount. $1, $2, whatever it is, it goes right into the show's production and hosting costs. So much thanks in advance for all of that. All right, that brings us to this week's famous Freemason. I was looking for somebody to fit the season, maybe somebody who played Santa Claus in a famous movie. I instantly thought of maybe Edmund Gwenn, who played the Saint Nick character, or Kris Kringle in Miracle on 34th Street back in the 1940s. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anything that related him to Masonry, so I just went with another famous Freemason that we found. So this is Julius Ox Adler, who was born December 3rd, 1892 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He was the son of Harry Clay Adler and Ada Oaks. After graduating from Princeton University in 1914, he was employed by the New York Times. He was commissioned as a second lieutenant in April 1917, was promoted to captain in August of 1917, and he served as a company commander in his 306th Infantry Regiment, 77th Division, on the front lines. He was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross after action at St. Juven on the 14th of October, 1918. He eventually returned to the New York Times in 1919, and he served as vice president and treasurer, becoming general manager in 1935 after the death of his uncle, Adolph Oaks. Having received promotions to lieutenant colonel in 1923 and to colonel in 1930 in the Army Reserves, Adler was reactivated in October of 1940 to serve as the commander of the 113th Infantry Regiment, 44th Division, at Fort Dix, New Jersey. He was promoted to Brigadier General in July of 1941. From September 1941, he was Assistant Divisional Commander in the 6th Infantry Division. He served with the 6th Infantry Division during the New Guinea Campaign, and he was relieved from duty on the 17th of November in 1944 because of an illness. He served as Commanding General of that division in the Army Reserves from November 1946 to 1948, receiving a promotion to Major General on the 24th of January 1948, and he was President of the Senior Army Reserve Commanders Association from 49 to 51. Adler was also the president and publisher of the Chattanooga Times and the general manager of the New York Times until his death on October 3, 1955. He was buried in Arlington National Cemetery in Section 2, Site 4957-A, Map O, Grid W32.5. In his personal life, he was married to Barbara Streithammer in 1922. They had two daughters and a son. He was a Freemason, being a member of Justice Lodge No. 753 on the 6th Manhattan Masonic District in New York City. That's it for this week. Please find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can email me at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me at that address on Google+. If you also want to get a hold of me at a different email address for whatever reason, you can get me at admin@wcypodcast.com. I hope you guys all have an awesome couple of weeks. You have a great Christmas and a phenomenal Hanukkah. What can I say? Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you guys in the future. Stay in the love. For Wins Kami, I'm Robert Johnson.